With an eclectic collection of trivia, water cooler knowledge, news stories, and motivational thoughts, this is the VoiceOver Work Podcast, brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Russell Newton, your host, and I appreciate your listening today. Today, further insight from the book Not Knowing, The Art of Turning Uncertainty into Opportunity, written by Stephen DeSouza, Diana Renner. Mounted on a granite block, an imposing statue stands at City Square on the corner of Collins and Swanston Streets in Melbourne, Australia. The inscription around the base reads, Robert O'Hara Burke and William John Wills, leaders of the Victorian Exploring Expedition, the first to cross the continent from south to north. They perished on the return journey at Cooper's Creek, Central Australia, June 1861. Burke stands to the left of the seated Wills, arm resting on his shoulder. A book lies open in Wills' lap. The statue was unveiled on 21 April 1865, 4 years after the expedition's ill-fated end. The story of Burke and Wills is one of triumph, as the expedition managed to reach the Gulf of Carpentaria on the northern coast of Australia, a journey of 3,000 kilometers. It's also a story of disaster, because many lives were lost along the way. Burke and Wills only made it back to Cooper's Creek, less than one-third of the way back to Melbourne, where, at their deserted supply camp, they died of starvation. Many historians have asked themselves, how could Burke and Wills have died of starvation when they were surrounded by bush food, or bush tucker, as it's called in Australia? As Ian Clark, author of The Aboriginal Story of Burke and Wills, Forgotten Narratives, comments, whilst the Europeans were perishing, the Aborigines were thriving. The book argues that the answer to this question lies in Burke's attitude. He had little respect, bordering on disdain for the indigenous people and their knowledge of the land. Other explorers had used indigenous trackers in previous expeditions, and the failure of this expedition is attributed to the lack of Aboriginal guides. The inability or unwillingness of the explorers to meaningfully engage with the local inhabitants of the land led to their demise. Burke had left one of his men, William Brahe, in charge of the supply depot at Cooper's Creek, and he ordered him to prevent any Aborigines from coming close to the depot. Returning from the Gulf of Carpentaria after 4 months, Burke, Wills, and King had missed Brahe by a few hours. He had given up waiting and abandoned the camp earlier that day. Ian Clark believes that if Brahe had encouraged good relationships with the Yandruwanda people, who had lived in the Cooper's Creek area for thousands of years, they would have been able to inform him of the imminent arrival of Burke and his party. Likewise, if Burke had not rejected contact with the Yandruwanda, they could have sent word further down the track to let Brahe know that they were coming. Once at Cooper's Creek, the explorers distrusted the Yandruwanda people's offers of friendship and hospitality. In his diary, Wills described the tribes as mean-spirited and contemptible in every respect, even when the men became totally dependent on the food they were providing them with. Reluctantly relying on their generosity, Wills wrote, "I suppose this will end in our having to live like the blacks for a few months." Lord Alderdice, a Liberal Democrat member of UK's House of Lords, and a descendant of the expedition's sole survivor, John King, says that in contrast with King, who respected the Aborigines' knowledge of the land, Burke was very dismissive of them. Burke fired his gun over the head of a man who'd brought him some food and asked for a piece of cloth in return. Later, it was reported that Burke rudely refused an offer of fish. After a while, the Yandruwanda stopped bringing the men food and eventually moved on. Without their benefactors, the explorers struggled to locate the nardoo seed, an aquatic fern that the Aborigines used to make cakes. This was because they were looking in the wrong places. They'd wrongly assumed that the seeds were growing on trees. Once they found the seeds, the explorers ate them green, not knowing that the nardoo seed is toxic if it is not correctly prepared. It drains the body of vitamin B1, which leads to death from malnutrition. As a result of malnutrition, Burke ended up being unable to move on the bank of the Cooper River. He asked King to place a pistol in his hand and to leave him unburied. He died later that day. King searched in vain for the Yondruwanda, and when he returned to camp, he found that Wills had died. After he buried him, King set out again to look for the Yondruwanda, finally locating them. Lord Alderdice points out that the only reason King survived was due to his interest in the Aboriginal people and his respect for their knowledge of the land. King lived with the Yondruwanda for more than 2 months until a relief party sent from Melbourne discovered him on 15 September 1861. The great irony is that Burke and Wills showed incredible fortitude and courage in being the first white people to cross the Australian continent. They perished because they didn't open themselves up to an unknown and untrusted source of knowledge. They failed to learn from the inhabitants of the unknown, being unable to conceive that these inhabitants possessed more knowledge than they did. They didn't trust them. Had their attitudes toward new knowledge from the unknown been different, they would have survived. Stephen D'Souza and Diana Renner were the authors of that clip coming from Not Knowing, The Art of Turning Uncertainty into Opportunity. Amazon.com has more information regarding the author and this book. Show notes and further information can be found at RussellEricNewton.com. With a collection of trivia, research, new stories, and knowledge from some of the newest audiobooks on the market, this has been the Voice Over Work podcast, brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services.